What, Kurt Cobain's.
For the pod, man.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. We're not gonna listen to it twice.
Just not do it.
You want to get the genuine reaction,
Ben? I don't want to hear this fucking story.
That's fine. I'm just going to tell it one thing.
Well, you want to have it like a powder keg. You know what I mean? You want energy. You don't want to lead your fight in the gym as the champ. You know what I'm saying?
Good point.
That's right.
That's what they say.
Note taken.
Welcome to Passions for Life, where your hosts, Travis Schultz and Natalie Z, pull back the curtain on your favorite show you always denied watching, Passions. You didn't make it in. You didn't make it into this one.
I'm the empty box.
Well, here's the thing. If I don't...
Fuck, man.
If I don't keep him on his toes, then he'll leave us.
Do you want...
that's how relationships work, right?
Just like torture.
Wow, that's an insight into your marriage.
Well... Oh. No one said it was great.
You said it was great last
episode.
No one
said we were happy.
Well, that was last episode.
Yeah. Lots has happened since then.
Lots of time has passed.
Don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
But because you got left out of the intro, Ben, how you doing? It's Ben Hayes is with us.
Yeah,
Ben
Hayes. I made it.
Guest star Ben Hayes, who's been in every episode.
Professional third wheel.
Yes.
You know what's funny is that we are all having an alcoholic beverage. This is rare.
Well, we're doing the pod later in the day today. Cheers, so cheers. Yeah.
It's the end of the day.
Cheers.
Beer, wine, and beer.
Beer sounds good.
Obviously, Travis is having the wine.
Yeah. Is that the ovni? Is that the flying object? That's a good
one.
It is.
Yeah, people love it.
Yeah, it's delicious. Me.
Guys, I'm having the wine. Relax.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. What was that thing that someone busted your chops, as they say?
Yeah, in, over the...
Because you were drinking a White Claw.
White Claw.
Yeah. Fuck that guy.
Roasting me. I appreciate that stuff.
So what's going on with your week?
Week.
Pretty weak.
Yeah.
We had a pretty weak...
You know what? We're having one of those weeks where, like, everything breaks.
Mm.
We're having another one of those.
Well, it's stretching out to 2 weeks. We're having another.
Stretching out to like 2021.
So I told you about Natalie's computer situation.
Yeah, is that fixed?
I have not cracked it open.
She is afraid.
I've not
turn
taken it out of the box.
And I found these sweethearts of men.
Yep, it works for me. Keep going.
I found these sweethearts of men.
So you found a box of hearts of men that are slightly sweet?
Male sweetheart candies?
Beer goes straight to my head.
This will be a fun one.
No. I found these men. They're sweethearts. Valentine suggested them to me. And they are great computer guys. And I said, just take it over to them and they'll take care of it.
Should we plug them? What is the name of the
company? I've only been to them once. They've replaced my battery. But we should.
Next pod,
we'll plug them into the LA
drop
people.
Some
but they're great.
An IOU plug.
Val can put it on the thing.
Yeah.
All right.
It's computer doctors at 240 North Virgil in Los Angeles.
You know, like computer doctors or something. I mean, you know, but
that's not what it's
they're,
called, but, yeah.
They're fantastic. I really think it is. I think they're
let's make sure
computer doctors.
Okay.
Don't quote me. So anyway, Nally's thing. Then the phone stopped working.
Okay.
No dial tone.
Riveting content.
So we're like,
go on.
Okay.
I gotta hear where this goes.
And then I see rats in our ceiling. Mm. And
relax, there were mice.
Okay. Whatever, mice, rats. What's the fucking difference?
Do you feel like mice are kind of like good guys and rats are bad guys?
I think that's the
only
the narrative,
way they're
yeah.
good is dead.
Oh wow,
okay.
Yeah,
well,
that's right. Gonna get a HIPAA fine or whatever.
OSHA.
OSHA fine.
Wait, what?
I know.
Neither
I just,
one did you?
I'm wait just, a minute. I'm just ripping here, guys.
Did you violate the mouse's confidentiality as to what the mouse said to his or her doctor?
Yep. Yep, I did.
Wow.
I did.
You're going to jail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about you, Ben?
You know, basic work week, but Friday was kind of cool because I was listening to the radio and DJ came on and said, oh, it's the anniversary of Kurt Cobain's death.
Yes.
And played some Nirvana, which I love. But I was looking up some stuff and I was like, saw images of Kurt Cobain. And I, for the first time now, realized just how good looking he was.
Isn't that fascinating that when you get older and you see people who are your peers who didn't get to get old.
Right.
that it becomes a completely different
thing for you. But yeah. I was thinking, like, in high school, just all the girls loving Kurt Cobain. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? Oh, because he's a rock dude. But
a rock guy.
Yeah, guy who plays music with his guitar. And then I saw the images just on Friday. I was like, he was extremely good looking.
Yeah.
Was like, he really?
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Go back and look. It's surprising that we weren't paying attention to that.
Yeah. I mean,
I loved his
music. Yeah, we all loved his music.
I didn't care what he looked like.
And I think maybe that's part of what it was that we were so blinded by the talent that we didn't even stop to. It also, that feels, I don't know, for him specifically, maybe there was something ingrained in us that said, please don't mention his looks. Don't ever mention his looks.
There's sure.
Yeah, that's not where we are with this guy.
It would take away the integrity of the music or something.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, well, we're past that.
Right, we're past that because we're
Instagram out.
But his eyes are very blue
piercing.
And blue eyes,
he tried to hide it, but I was like, you can't hide that.
With those big sunglasses.
Yeah.
He didn't like himself. It was very, very unfortunate.
Yeah.
He's a very talented man. But his childhood was not great.
Which made his music incredible.
Which made his music incredible, yeah. Suffered for his art.
I think about that with, just so not the same thing, and I'm not even trying to put it on the same plane, but like with...
About your childhood?
Yeah, no. I mean, that's a whole other podcast. I think
but
about
Natalie
that
doesn't have a grunge album yet.
No, not yet.
No,
there's still time. Yet.
There's no time left.
With Reagan and, you know, the idea of if she wants to be an artist of any kind... It's going to be really hard for her because we give her the fucking world. And people who get the world handed to them make shitty artists.
Man.
You disagree?
No, mediocre.
Okay.
Like me.
Sure. Like TV actors.
Like
basic,
you know,
cable
like,
TV actors.
Like I was on a hit show, but like six seasons in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
but people love me.
And so if she's okay with that, then I guess handing her the world is
You know
is
what?
Fun.
Pays the bills.
There are enough exceptions.
And we also don't know what's to come. I mean,
but there are enough exceptions that I don't think you have to worry about it. Like Spike Lee.
He had it all. Spike Lee had it all, didn't he?
Spike Jones. You're going to have to edit this to save
Spike
my
Jones.
Ass.
Spike Jones.
Spike Jones, yeah.
Listen, there are two Spikes. You had a 50-50 shot. Yeah, Spike Jones. Also, Sofia Coppola. I mean, going along that whole. There are plenty of Gwyneth Paltrow, who I think is actually a very good actress.
Very good,
Angelina Jolie. We're talking about people who came
from. Wes Anderson.
Yep.
Owen Wilson.
I'm sure there's plenty we're forgetting. Yeah. But I think about that. I wonder about that. Hmm. And wonder, you know, if. Who cares?
Wow.
That, no, I mean, we've already said.
One of the things that I love about having Nirvana, like, that's our youth.
It's our soundtrack. Yeah,
it's our soundtrack. Is it really made me growing up? I was like, man, all these, you know, I didn't call them boomers then, but I was like, all these parents have like the Who and the Led Zeppelin and all these great bands, the Rolling Stones. And I'm like, man, music. Are we ever gonna get that? Mm-hmm. And I feel like we did.
We did get it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm just so happy that we got something like that that made a significant change to music and I wouldn't say made a change, but like kept the ball rolling. I mean, it's in the rock and roll kind of way.
Ben doesn't understand what we're talking about because he's younger than us. Yeah.
I'm a little younger.
So just so you know.
But he's the one who's talking about Nirvana.
He listened to the radio.
You're just trying to relate to your old castmates.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Podcast mates. It's very sweet.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, it makes me feel good. And then I worry about the kids now. But then I listen to music now.
I know.
No.
I worry about the kids now.
Let me finish. I worry about the kids now, and then I listen, and I'm like, there's some really fucking
you
good music out there.
You listen to Phoebe Bridgers, and you listen to...
I heard her for the first time, and I was like, I get it.
Billie Eilish.
I get it, Billie Eilish. I mean,
it's different in terms of
R&B, hip-hop,
there's so much great stuff happening. Like Tyler, the Creator, and Kid Cudi.
I don't know if it's because I was more into Nirvana, stuff like that, but like now that I'm exposed to that music, because that's the music I'm drawn to now.
There was a finite amount of classic rock.
Yeah.
Well, I've
rock and then shit you hadn't heard of because not available
because
it's on college radio. Yeah.
Exactly. And now I feel like it's all kind of blended.
Everything's available.
Yeah, everything's available. Everything and it's been fun now that I figured out how to make it work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like where music's at now.
I really like where music's at.
Especially after what's been happening for the last 4 years, I feel like music is finally stepping up and saying, you know what? Fuck this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck this
it's
status
pretty
quo
great.
Bullshit.
It's pretty cool. But I do have to admit that 90% of the songs in my playlist I get from the Insecure playlist.
Yeah. her Apple One show?
No, you just go on Spotify and you put in Insecure and plenty of people have contributed to making these great playlists.
You know what? You know what blew my mind was Insecure was a great soundtrack. I made Destroy You.
Was also
a
really
that
good
soundtrack.
One.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
that is like every song. I'm like, how do you pick a song that makes the scene even better than it already is?
Yeah.
Every time, in every episode. And I mean, it reminds me a lot of,
because they're collaborating with such incredible musicians who yeah. really understand how to meld the picture story with the sonic story,
right.
and do it in a way that's so evocative.
Well, I think that was that kind of one of the shows that keeps popping into my head is Sopranos, because I felt like their music production worked well towards especially at the end of the episode. But I May Destroy You. There's more writers, I think, are writing shows, especially creators, and then are in the show.
Yeah, that are starring.
They are writing the soundtrack. Soundtrack.
No tea.
You got it. Third
soundtrack.
Yeah.
As they write.
Yeah, I usually reference songs, even though you're not supposed.
You're not supposed to. Yeah.
You're not supposed to.
Philosophical question, existential question. So
titties.
That's the correct answer.
Always.
Titties. I feel like the boomers, by and large, have betrayed the ethic or the ethos of the Who and of the Beatles and of the Rolling Stones and that generation's that music, right?
Right. But our generation is doing exactly
what we said we were going to do. We're keeping quiet.
Burn it all fucking down.
And we're just standing back and letting
the shit
happen.
No. I think we're definitely Nirvana-ing it up.
Well, that's my question, is how do we not betray that sort of ethos? I don't know. It's an open question.
Look, man.
We sit angsty in a corner like we're supposed to.
Yeah.
Latchkey kids forever.
That's what we're doing.
No, because I said this to Ben when this whole insurrection thing was going down. I said, you know what? A lot of those people up there are my age.
Our
See what I did, Ben?
Mm-hmm.
I did, yeah. And I'm like, a lot of those are white men my age. And I'm like, what's going on? What's going on? Yeah. What did we do? I thought we were kind of on track.
I know.
Oh no, Gen X, what did you do?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, we got so angry.
Or do you think it's inherently a sign of age? Like, is it
aging?
That's my question. I don't know.
It is.
And there, we know why. I mean, there's plenty of like brain chemistry and experiential evidence. Just, there's all kinds of anecdotal stuff.
Disenfranchisement.
Endless amounts of data as to why this happens. But also, does it have to? And there are plenty of exceptions to the rule.
Yes.
Well, when you have a pandemic, when you have like massive food shortages and death and then misinformation and poor management, I mean, it's the perfect.
Yeah, it's a real.
It's the perfect ingredients for perfect this kind of situation. Yeah.
There's also if you, sorry to cut you off, but there's a guy on Twitter months ago was yelling at Tom Morello, the guitar player from Rage Against the Machine.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Tom Morello had gone on Twitter publicly, was anti-Trump. And this guy was like, consider me not a fan anymore. And Tom Morello's like, well, have you been listening to my music? I mean, if you were a fan and you were actually listening to the music, then you should have no problem with what I'm saying.
But that's an issue that is happening pretty broadly on social media anyway. Like I will look at, say, for instance, a Busy Phillips.
Yeah.
Busy is she's incredibly vocal about her political views and like very, very vocal.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes after a post that's fairly political, I'll just occasionally like look at the comments and there's inevitably an unfollow.
Right.
Like, wait, what the fuck were you following her for?
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is the shit I don't. I'm sorry, y'all. It's the wine.
Unfollow.
I'm going to unfollow you again.
I'm going to continue to unfollow you every time I follow you and then unfollow you.
Right. That's the equivalent of calling your ex to tell them you're not thinking about them anymore.
Fuck you.
I'm not going to call you anymore. Just letting you know.
Yeah.
We broke up, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
Is
good.
Is that cancel culture? Unfollowing?
No, it's not.
Oh, you guys, passions.
You know, this is a good, this was topical because the show is happening in hell. And
here we are. In this episode, I just want one big overarching idea. Sheridan is plucky. She is a plucky heroine throughout this whole episode.
Well, do we want to tell dear listeners what the episode is?
Oh, sorry, I jumped
the gun.
No, it's fine. I'm trying to fucking keep the trains on the tracks, guys.
Do it, Natalie.
Yeah, stop
so,
drinking.
Never. Cold dead hands. Do I have a problem?
Yeah, way to go, Yul Brynner.
Okay, it's not Yul. It's actually
he died of lung
he
cancer.
He died of lung cancer. He was like this.
I thought you were talking about the guy who, Charlton Heston.
Ben's with me.
Yeah, okay, guys.
Whatever you do, don't smoke. That's what he did.
Go ahead, Natalie.
Cool. The famous episode 462, Hellfire and Brimstone, I guess.
More Ethan screaming like a little bitch.
Yeah.
I loved it.
So now that you're caught up, apparently Sheridan's a plucky
she's
heroine.
She's a plucky heroine.
Go on, explain.
Well, yeah. She is the only voice of reason to an extent, in as much as one could be the voice of reason in a Passions episode.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we can cover it when we get there, because I think it's depending on what we're going to do. Are we going to go locale by locale? Or
sure. Yeah. Okay. That's what I have.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll come back to that.
Okay. Plucky Sheridan. I can't wait to get to her.
Yeah.
I also have a very general note.
Yeah.
This episode was the longest episode of Passions.
It was very long.
It was very long.
So it felt that it wasn't just me, right?
No.
It felt that way to everybody.
Because there's a lot of...
And I wasn't upset about it necessarily, because there was a lot going on and I felt engaged, but also like, we're not done. Okay, we're not done. So I don't know if that was because of the amount of content or it actually went over.
There's a lot of negotiating that was not really negotiating.
But that's what Passions is. Yeah. I mean, that's a great sort of thesis for the show in general.
Well, there's also a lot of the Ivy Julian stuff,
we start with Ivy and Julian?
Real nasty.
Gross.
Real nasty.
In fact, I don't know if you want to share this.
Yeah.
So Travis and I, you know,
every once in a while.
We are parents and we're, you know, I was going to say we're single parents. You know, we're single parents. And
it's a little game we play.
We're just trying.
Oh, man.
We put on this little show for Reagan. We fight. Nellie usually throws a drink in my face. I threaten to hit her. And then, you know, we single parent.
So that's not what we do. Anyway, we are just trying to get through. And sometimes we don't have childcare. And we have a deadline because we do this podcast. And we want to get it, you know, out to people. So we're like, okay, well, fuck. I guess we're going to watch Passions with Reagan here. Because she can't be away from our side for 5 fucking minutes.
I love not having school.
Yeah, it's cool. Open the schools. Open the fucking schools.
Whoa.
Sorry. I'm actually not sorry. So we're like, okay, great. Let's watch this and so it opens with Ivy and Julian. And after, I don't know how long, Travis is like, we're done. We're not doing this in front of her.
It's right after he says, and I quote, every wife should be a whore in the bedroom.
Yes.
Yep. Freaking the sheets.
Yeah.
Write freaking the sheets?
No, but I
every wife should
often.
Be a freak in the sheets. What? That would have been such a funnier, better. That would have been such a Julian line.
Well, it was also it's also a rap lyric.
Yeah,
which none of the Passions writers would have known that. Yeah,
no, I didn't know.
Well, no, darling, you didn't.
I know,
of course.
It's not a surprise to anybody.
The first line of this show is when. Who is it? Is it Ivy or is it Julian who gets
the one book she pulls out of this huge fucking library?
Book called Sons and Lovers.
Yeah, D.H. Lawrence.
Okay, so he knows it's D.H. Lawrence. Amazing. But also, like, in the context of this, it's gross.
It is gross because everyone wants to sleep with Ethan, his aunt,
his mom,
Teresa, Gwen, Rebecca.
Rebecca, Julian.
Rebecca, Julian, Chef
Sam.
Bonet.
Galen Garing.
He's like, no, Luis.
And I don't see it. All I see is a guy in a turtleneck. I'm like, what's the big deal?
Screaming like a little baby.
How dare you?
Yeah. No, I'm sorry.
The hands were hot, guys. That's what I was doing. I was like, are your hands hot? Because you're from hell? I was like, yeah, that's what I'm going to play. Your hands are hot.
Were you really?
Yeah.
God
I was getting
bless
burned.
You.
I was getting burned.
Well, we're going to get there
you
in a second.
This
hold
through,
on. We,
yeah.
we got to get, we got to
oh,
get.
Crane Mansion.
The Brandy. What?
Crane Mansion.
What is brandy?
It's like a wine-based liquor.
Yeah, it's some
liqueur.
It's like the it's like a grappa. It's just aged barrel-aged wine.
Yeah.
So then I get is it a rich person's drink?
Yeah.
Yes, it's expensive. The good stuff.
Okay. Yeah. So that's why everybody's
is it like Cavassier.
Yeah, I think so.
All that stuff. It's just old.
Our knowledge stops at wine and beer.
Yeah, we're pretty much wine and beer. You're Gen X, so you obviously do a hard seltzer
we're middle class.
Gen Z. You're going way Benjamin Buttoning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the brandy thing, I was wondering because it continues to come up.
Well, you know, the whole family drinks brandy.
Well,
including Ethan.
In his baba.
Oh, my Lord. It helps me go to sleep.
It really does.
Mama can't help me, baby.
There were so many things. There was a lot of domestic violence jokes, which are always hilarious.
It was the weirdest thing.
It felt very out of character.
Yeah. I loved it. This was my salute to Dan, because there was a P.S. Ivy. You know how he's,
like you see, yeah,
you see,
yeah,
because he pointed out in Natalie's speech or hickey speech, she says, "You see."
Yeah, he glommed onto that.
Like, he's see? Like, nobody talks that way.
And no, I can't stop.
And this is Julian does it here. He says, "P.S. Ivy."
Yeah,
you know whatever.
I never say that to Amy. P.S. The cat litter box is clean.
Yeah, it's just yeah, exactly. P.S. I wash the car.
P.S.
Yeah.
My thought was that the performances.
I pooped in my pants.
That's weird.
Go on with
the performances were dishy. Sure. To quote the book, but the material itself is not that interesting.
Not only was it not interesting, but it felt a little borderline not okay.
Yeah.
Except
yeah.
I did enjoy, like, this is what it makes me, drives me crazy about the writers, like the lack of effort that's put into so much of it. And yet when Ivy mentions how she, all of her friends have abandoned her, and then she lists off Millicent, Nan, and Brooke.
I wrote it down too.
I'm like, that's fucking genius. Why put that kind of energy into that and then shit the bed on the rest of the...
Yeah, and then shit the bed in the same sentence because she says, or not in the same sentence, but in that same thought, she says, my friends haven't invited me to sit on any of their committees.
Right. It's just like the most like, general... Like, what does that even mean?
It's like, I'm typing this report.
And yeah, how many, like, committees are in harmony?
That's what I mean. I'm like...
Well, they do have a tabloid.
Your three friends, Millicent, Nan, and Brooke, won't ask you to sit on their committees.
All of their committees.
Like, yeah. They just have committees.
Millicent.
Like, what Millicent?
Oh, I know. God, that's such a great job.
Nan. Short for...
Nantucket? I don't know.
There was a Nan in Victoria, Texas. I'm trying to remember her last name. Bush. Nan Bush.
That's a shoe line,
isn't it?
Nan Bush?
Yeah.
It's not.
Okay.
Right, listeners.
Research pending.
Then there's the cover art for The Perfect Murders.
I love The Perfect Murders, which we saw podcast episodes ago, but I believe is actually sequentially in the future of the show, right?
Oh.
Because he was referencing this book. At the wedding.
Yeah, at the wedding.
He was.
Where things were getting real bad. Yeah, because the wedding is after this. The double.
The wedding double. Yeah. I had to go back and listeners, so there's this book that's being referenced in the room, and it's called Perfect Murders. And the what's most important is the cover art, which is a blob of blue ink.
Yeah.
I did pause, and I guess it's supposed to be the silhouette of a face.
I think the transfer that we were watching.
It doesn't matter. It's still bad. Even if the transfer is bad.
Did you notice the angle, too? They weren't even cheating it. They were just like, we're going to shoot it at
straight on.
Like,
straight on. Right. And
I'm going to read this book at an angle that I can't actually read it, but the audience can.
Yeah. Are you guys familiar with an insert? Do you know what an insert is?
No.
They did not have time.
You know how long inserts take?
Run and gun, Travis. Mm-hmm. Run and gun.
Run and gun.
Yeah. It's a smash and grab job every day.
When you work at McDonald's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what we were doing.
Yeah, that's what we were doing. And there's nothing wrong
slinging
with it.
Burgers.
Yeah. Crane Mansion.
Crane Mansion. Why? Also, this shit about Julian having to kill his sister.
Yeah.
This dumb horse shit where, like, I guess he has to do it because Alistair is making him do it. Hire a fucking hitman. Like, let's get it done. Like, don't, please. What sadomasochistic bullshit is, like, oh, you gotta kill your sister? Like, then.
Well, yeah.
You have to do it.
And they try to do that thing where. They try to complicate it by making him have a promise to his mother, which he doesn't really struggle with too long.
Not at all. For a second.
Like, well, sorry, mom.
Dead mom.
And I love the flashback where they just like put some sort of dark hair wig on him.
And he talks like this.
And his voice goes up just an octave.
Yeah. Yes, mother, I will protect this.
And he's playing a little boy.
So yeah, it was weird.
I know.
It was the first time where I'm watching these two and going, I don't care for it.
Yeah.
I don't care for any of this.
Yeah, I felt like if I was watching it and I didn't understand English, I'd be more into it. But when I understood the language, I was less into it.
Yeah, you were less into it. Yeah, because you're just like, oh, this is just nasty.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, shame on you, Julia.
Yeah, I'm glad.
Shame on you.
I'm glad we could get that out of the way before we.
Yeah, like the penis jokes and then the damn the ACLU.
Yes.
What? Wait. Like, what?
Yeah. She's like, yeah, he's like these other women. And she's like, it was something about the crane name. And she goes, well, it's, you know, you got a small dick. And then he was like, you know, I'd beat you up if it wasn't for that damn ACLU.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, my God, this is.
Whoa.
And so this is something I wanted to ask you, Ben. So I'm like, you know what? I think it's just the climate that we're in. Like, after these 4 years, I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Like, the humor of it, the taste is gone.
No, it's completely gone.
Like, it, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's like, and this is when I, you know, people get all right. They're like, wow, that's funny. And I'm like, it was. I'm not saying it wasn't.
It wasn't, but it was at least tolerable. Okay. It was tolerable.
That's true.
Yeah.
But now, I don't know. This is a lot of, like, I feel like I look back on my childhood and I feel this way, the same way about my childhood. Like, watching the scene, I'm just going, man, that's not cool. Why was it ever cool?
Well, it's when your boyfriend's grandfather tells a joke and uses the N-word, and you're like, ha ha, I guess we're just. That was back in the 90s, and you're like, now you look back on it and like, fuck, if I had any awareness, I would have been like, hey, grandpa, why don't you go fuck yourself?
No, that's not cool. I think back to things from my childhood and even probably well into my 30s. Things that my relatives would say.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I would give them a pass that I would not give them now.
That's the thing.
I'd be like, it's from a different generation. And now I'm like, you know better. I mean, you live in this world now.
Yeah, you read the newspaper.
Yeah. Right. I kind of feel the same way. I'm like, no, it's we got into the situation because we were always like giving everybody passes. You know what I mean? Yeah. And when I say everybody, I just mean the people that we all think of and we go, oh yeah, I probably should have done that. I don't know. Maybe no one else feels this way, but that's the show.
No, I think because I had a sea change.
There is a sea change. Yeah. You know, and I think a lot of what we talked about in the beginning of this podcast was how we were talking about, you know, just like the way that women were talked about, and you know, like a woman only needs a man and everything's fine.
Wait till we get to the Bennett house, guys.
Oh yeah. Well, let's get there.
Let's get off that soapbox and move on.
Or do you want to do church first or Bennett house?
Church first.
Well, I feel Bennett like church house. Is part of the Bennett house.
Church is like leads to the Bennett house.
Wait, church?
Don't forget about TNT.
Did you
TNT.
Watch the same?
I did. They go to the church to get Father Lonergan.
They get to get the holy water.
Yeah.
It's like a block away.
There's a church a block away from the house because they were gone for a very short amount of time.
I think it's a small town, even though they do have their own tabloid.
It is a small town, and nobody knows shit about anybody's past.
But there's a lot of committees.
Yes. I'm like, all these committees, Millicent, and nobody talks about their past. Like, Brooks. TC doesn't know what
tennis coach
Eve's been up to, and nobody knows that Julian was...
They're wrapped up in their committees.
Father Lonergan, by the way, I would say is negligent, because he is like, oh yeah, I suspected this might happen for some time.
Oh, right,
that a portal to hell might open.
He's like, not surprising.
Yeah. I'd be like, oh, guess what? When this is all done... Lawsuit, motherfucker.
For sure. You should have said something.
You should have said something.
Also, I got very excited for you, Benjamin Hayes.
What's that?
Angel girl.
You know what? I actually wrote Angel Girl, and here's what I wrote. Blech.
How times have changed.
I'm just not, I'm not charmed by her anymore.
Wow. Well, because she's a teenager now, and it feels gross.
It feels weird and not Catholic.
Okay.
Yeah, not Catholic.
Okay.
There was a Doctor Who episode, by the way, that involved angels that when you looked away from them, they would actually move and try to kill you. But if you saw them, they would stop moving.
Oh, that's
cool. kind of like a Timmy thing too.
Exactly.
Yeah. I wrote Angel Girl.
Like Riot Girl?
Like Riot Girl.
Yeah.
Slater
Angel
Kitty.
Girl.
Well,
I was actually going to move on to Tabby and Timmy before getting to the Bennett house and talk about that Bob Villa reference. Bob Villa,
reference it twice?
Does she?
She either referenced him in the previous episode and then again here. Because she said this old house and then Bob Villa.
Bob Villa. Right. She says Bob Villa.
She also misquotes the song lyric, by the way.
Which one?
She says...
the Bob Villa song.
I'll stand by your man.
Oh, yes, me too.
I'll stand by your man.
Yeah. Yeah, that bugged me too. Yeah. I mean, less so than the concept. Okay. This is kind of out of order. So I don't know if we want to...
Well, let's talk about TNT. I mean...
If we want to go back... Well, because there's... It does go back. The TNT goes back and forth.
Yeah, it does.
Because Whitney and Teresa and Sheridan all end up going into Tabby's house to have tea,
exactly.
Which I was very excited about. Because this is also one of those situations where you're like, oh, this group of people has probably never had the chance to do scenes together. That's the first thing
grouping.
I thought.
Yeah.
Fun new grouping. And yeah. I'm sure they were excited to get to work together. I don't know that like Brooke did a lot of scenes with Mackenzie. And I don't know that any of them did scenes with Juliet all that much.
Very rude.
And even like, I mean, Lindsay and Mackenzie did work together a lot, but not as much. So yeah, I was excited to see this grouping. But, you know, once again, it stumbled in so many ways about how
from the get-go, again, the casualness.
Yes.
Right.
Because there's hell happening.
Yeah.
And they're like,
well, they don't know that.
They do. The women know from the previous episode because they've been sequestered.
Right. Out of danger.
Yeah. Out of danger.
And Tabitha's like, you know what? Forget the fact that the world's ending. Let's go have some tea.
You can see it from our window. It's fine if anything happens.
There's something very important that she needs to do, and that is read the tea leaves. But then Teresa's like, she's like, I mean, she seems, R.E. Tabitha, she seems pretty innocent. And Whitney, and I'm like, okay, Whitney. Whitney's like, I'm not so sure she's harmless. Based on what?
Well, this is why I think Sheridan's plucky, because she kind of splits the difference. She's like, I don't know, but I've always been curious about tea leaves.
Yeah.
So I'll stay for now as long as I can see outside. Yeah. So she's got her eyes on the prize.
That's what I mean. She's like,
she's level-headed.
Level-headed.
Yeah. That's the word. And then she also, so Tabitha also is like, in order to lure them in and to get them to stay, she pulls the bullshit of like, well, the men will have to tend, if you go back out there, the men will have to tend to you instead of doing their job.
I really like how she did that too. Like she wasn't believing it. She was like, oh, but these dumb bitches, listen to this. This will work.
They're so stupid.
Yeah. I just kind of like, she's like, oh, but, you know, you're just little bunnies.
I also wrote these goddamn bracelets.
I know.
I'm sorry, I can't go. But, this is so great. This is like something that never, because, you know, my theory that they're all like writing these episodes like with no knowledge of what's going to happen two or three episodes later.
Yeah.
So you don't know this.
I don't.
But Tabitha foreshadows when she says to Teresa, you're going to marry a crane.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to happen soon. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be the worst fucking day of your life.
Yeah.
We're about to cover it.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Am I going to cover it?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And I'm like, wait, they had the fucking forethought to know? Not only to know.
It doesn't just happen to Teresa, though.
No.
It happens to all of them. To Whitney.
Well, no, you know what I'm talking about, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is foretelling. She does that for all characters. All the characters.
But I'm just talking about specifically what's about to happen with Teresa marrying a crane. And
I understand.
It was very clever how she does it. The writers did it.
Yeah, Teresa pushes back and then Tabitha is like, you know, she continues to kind of...
Yes, I know that like there are other bad things that happen, but something is going to happen in the near future that she foreshadows, which again, like subtlety and trickery that we know, we all know, like as 2021 audiences... For something like that to happen is like, well, that's what TV shows do. But I thought it was very clever that she's...
Okay.
No, because I know what's going to happen.
Yes.
And I've never actually seen that on this show.
So you have... It gave you a little confidence that they actually knew a little bit more.
Yeah, I did. I had no idea that they had anything planned past a week.
I was surprised me as well.
Yeah. The Reese/Ross...
Goddamn.
Tabitha...
It's Ross. Not funny.
No, it's not.
It's not funny.
But I do love that his proof...
Yes.
Of whether or not she's evil
is
if she can pray.
I
enjoyed that too.
Yeah. Yeah. And
that's all it takes.
I thought, what a simpler time. because if it were fucking Ted Cruz, he'd be like, our father who art in heaven. I'd be like, well, you see, he's not evil.
He's okay.
Yeah, he's fine. He's okay.
Yeah. But Tabitha she's pure in her evilness. She can't do it.
No, she's not going to do it.
Yeah. So I kind of appreciated that.
I actually admired that she was like, not happening. Well, because I think she would also explode.
I don't know, but I know that the conception of the world that existed at that time was such that they would make a character who could not commit evil.
Right.
Was hypocrite proof.
Right.
Whereas we live in a time
where that's
now
just not
that is not even in the imagination.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, just lie. Just lie.
Yeah,
no
one,
and you know what?
Nothing matters.
Maybe the that principle applies only to witches and not human beings. And that's why human beings are shittier than witches.
Maybe witches are great.
Maybe witches are actually
at
least you know what you're getting with. You know, it's not it's Wicked Witch of the East.
Look, all the Wiccans.
The Witch of the North. Witch of the North.
Yeah. Anybody met a bad witch?
I have not.
Yeah. So maybe they're onto something.
I flew when I first flew to LA. I sat next to a what's a Wiccan?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that a boy or a girl?
No, a warlock is a boy witch. I think a Wiccan is like a modern day witch, right?
Well, Wiccan can be.
She was so funny. She held my hand.
Was it turbulence?
Yeah, she was nervous. And then I saw that, that's a story.
Well, that story we need to, that's for a later pod.
That's a creepy story.
It's a good story. It might ruffle some feathers. But anyway, another thing about Reese Ross.
Yeah.
Kind of like Rick Ross.
Yeah.
Reese Ross is, guys notice that there's a point at which somebody's talking, I think it's probably Eve and Pilar and Grace, they're talking, and in the background, Reese is in the background doing what we all would think in 2021 is looking at his iPhone.
Yes.
There are no iPhones back then.
You have been and will continue to hear noise in the background on this recording. That's Travis and Natalie's daughter, Reagan, hanging out while we did the podcast.
So he's talking about all the internet has to offer, but he's looking at his notepad because there are no iPhones back in 2001.
Oh, so that was his.
That was his notepad.
Was like, I looked on the internet and I wrote it down on this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But hold on. This is a phenomenon that I have noticed movies and TV shows that I know were filmed pre-2007, which is when the iPhone came out. We are so programmed to see people in the world in that position with that, the thing that's shaped like the phone in their hands, that I've watched movies from the 70s and 80s and 90s, and they've been holding something or doing or being in a position looking down. And my immediate consciousness is like, oh, they're looking at their iPhone. No, they're not. They're actually not. That didn't exist before. And it happened with the Reese character where I was like, oh, he's scrolling through Twitter. And I'm like, no. Jack Dorsey was in fucking high school. Junior high.
No, he's looking through his notes.
Yeah.
Funny.
I thought that was...
That worked on me.
Do you think that Reese's inspiration for his performance was Rick Moranis from Ghostbusters? Because it was very Rick Moranis.
It was very Rick Moranis. Yeah.
Because you remember in Ghostbusters when Rick Moranis is possessed and he's like, you have to go through a Vic Clortho over the fires of hell and then you will die
and
on that day,
I tell
you.
A bit of a lisp or like a kind of fun speech thing that he does. Yeah. Yeah.
I want to say, I think you...
I mean, the styling with the glasses.
Yeah.
And kind
I think
of,
you found it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good.
I'm going to give him credit and say yes. Exactly. He was so big and over the top, and I really enjoyed it because it's like, fuck it, why not?
I know.
He was one of the few younger actors who completely got it.
Yeah.
Was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna take this all the way to the cheap seats.
He was very fun to watch.
Yeah.
He continues to be fun to watch.
Oh, good. Can't wait.
Yeah. You guys, Ethan is Sam's son. I don't know if you comprehended that. I don't know if they said it enough times.
They did. There was a very memorable way they said it.
But no one mentioned it. So I want to make sure that you know.
He's not just anyone.
That he's Sam's son.
Yeah. Yeah. Sam's son.
He's not just anyone.
There was a thing here that I wanted to bring up. When Ivy, you know, Pilar makes the mistake of calling Ivy. But she does anyways because, you know, she's concerned. You know.
Excuse me.
That
is wine.
That's not Reagan. I mean, Natalie peeing. So you studied. You went to film school.
I did.
And there's a scene. I'm just going to do the scene. Like, this is it. Pilar, it's me, Ivy. I came because you called me and told me that my son was in danger. That's why I'm here. What's going on? It's so bad.
Yes.
On that, like.
Kim killed
like
it, though.
Like, the character
she really
that comes in. They state why they're there. Where they came from and what the
tag on.
Yeah, yeah. And they have a name tag. I mean, it was just so like, and she did it great, but
she did it.
It was
great.
Just like so many times we had to deal with that. And it was just like, oh man, this is like an eighth grader wrote a play.
Yes. It does feel very much like that.
Well, okay. So I think we need to get, I'm very, very excited about getting into Upstairs. And the actual hell, fire and hellscape of it all. But I would be remiss if we didn't talk a great deal of shit on the anti-feminism that's going on in the backyard.
Yes.
Essentially, here's what...
Would have been a nice favorite topic.
Here's what somebody has to do it, guys. If you don't like it, tune out. I don't know.
okay.
A woman's...
I was
talking to the listeners.
I thought you were talking to me.
This is what I gleaned from what's happening in the backyard. A woman's job is to believe in a man. If she doesn't believe hard enough, it'll be her fault if something bad happens.
Yes.
So this is the speech that Eve is giving to Grace when Grace has decided that...
Don't forsake Sam.
Well, maybe we're not supposed to be together. Bitch, you've been together 25 years. You have 3 kids. You're not 22 and like, I don't know, maybe this isn't the guy for me. It's over. Like
it's much more complicated
it's over.
Than that. Yeah. You're not a teenager.
No.
I also had a reaction to that with Eve telling her that if... She, Grace, her faith in her man is somehow diminished, then her man might fail. But the bigger picture It's still performance. That hell's fucking happening.
Right. The hell's happening. Right. I since we're touching on that my
bigger
favorite
fish to fry. No,
totally.
Well, I mean, is there?
I don't know. Do you want your man to go to hell?
Well, they really were reaching.
Yeah.
Like, well, how do we include the ladies?
Yeah.
In this major storyline.
Right.
Because
What do ladies talk about?
Well, they talk about you got to believe in your man.
I'll stand by your man.
I'll stand by your man.
I just, in talking about this,
we got to include the women somehow because we're paying them. Because, and also, like, I say it glibly, but that is a part of it. Like, we have to pay these actors. They have a guarantee. When you sign a contract, you are guaranteed a certain amount of episodes a week that you have to get paid for. So they have to write you in.
Right.
In your case, they didn't.
And they did not. And we know why. We know how that math worked out. Would it have been great to see a la, like, a Charlize Theron type thing? Where what Sam and TC and Ethan were doing in there, if it was the women.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, but don't think outside that box because.
You know what would have been helped the blocking in that room was to crowd more people in the
room.
Well, no, just take the men out. No, have them drinking tea and talking about feelings. And then.
Pretty funny.
And then have the women like doing the hard work.
Look, a mother's love for her son and an aunt's love for her nephew.
Yeah.
Sexual.
No bounds. So it would have been nice to see Sheridan and Ivy tag team
made out.
And make out and go try to eat, to rescue Ethan.
Their desire to fuck Ethan.
Yes.
Hell would be like, come on in.
And they'd be like, oh, this is easy.
One of my favorite lines after Dr. Eve, it's at the end of the episode, but Dr. Eve is trying to get, you know, Grace to like not forsake Sam.
Mm-hmm.
And Grace is like, okay, I'm going to go back into the house that's falling apart and there's a hell thing and find him and talk to him about this.
With a lot of urgency.
Yeah. Yes.
A lot of urgency.
Yeah. Yeah. My notes about Grace are, Jesus, Grace. She sucks the air right out of everyone's sails.
Yeah.
But she walks out of the scene. And everyone cheers. And then Dr. Eve says to camera. She says, maybe something will come out of this terrible situation. Maybe something. Will come out of this terrible situation.
Did she forget the word good?
That's what I'm wondering
because I thought the same thing.
Oh my God, she didn't say.
Something will definitely goes, come out of it.
Maybe something
because,
will come out of this terrible situation.
Yeah, I'm because like, things
I'm
happen.
Like, that shows you how the fine tooth comb that went through. Like,
yeah.
You missed.
Yeah.
You, a key
well,
word
this, this episode is full of a chock a block of missed opportunities and lines.
I know.
And then
but that
well,
was,
I, will,
I just love that.
I will
like,
pick
maybe
right.
Something will come out of it.
Right back up. So after. Grace leaves the scene to go in, and then we pick back up where she walks into the next scene. I wrote, legitimately, did Grace just wake up from a nap? she's like, go to the other room, like wiping the sleepy out of her eyes.
Oh man!
And like, what's up? What's going on?
Yeah, just no one's playing any sense of urgency.
It's really hard.
The
to
boys
do.
Are. I
it's
mean,
really
I,
well,
no,
because
I feel
we
like
have
the boys
something
are.
To do.
But they're doing like they're trying to argue about the knot tying and the tug of
right
and the weird angle to pull you out. That's the blocking you're talking about. Like they're at like a 30 degree angle. Not great.
It makes no sense.
Yeah. So Travis,
I just love that TC is on top of it.
Can you?
He's
can
like
you,
the only one that seems capable.
He's true. Always, like consistently.
He's like, oh, I can do this.
Can you share some specific memories of this particular episode and what was kind of going? I mean, we've talked about it in other pods where you're like, oh, at the time I was in hell.
Well, I do remember when I told those guys what I was going to do and they were like, what? You're going to do that? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to fucking scream. I'm going to scream like, and they're like, no, dude, you're not really going to do that. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do? And they're like, well, don't do that, dude. You're going to look really weak. And it was very funny because they were just like, after the first take, they were just like, oh, man, Travis, you look really stupid.
Do you regret making that decision when you're watching it? Do you think that was a bad choice?
I don't.
I agree. I
actually,
don't think
in my
it was
notes, I say, I don't know why I wasn't nominated. That's right here. I got a star on it. I don't know why I wasn't nominated.
You joke.
We were the number one show.
Listen, you joke, but also, how else does one play that? No
that's,
one knows.
That's what, and I felt like the writers were setting Ethan up to be, to get his comeuppance. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody knows hell exists except Ethan. Mm-hmm. And I was I'm gonna lean into this, you know. And watching it, I was like, I didn't need to lean into it that much, you know. It's kind of like a Tom Hanks Forrest Gump kind of situation. But it was kind of like, whoa, I don't know. But I
honestly don't know that you could have played it any other way, really.
It worked. And I really like the moment where after, like, I thought I played that really well.
I totally
thought, where she's like, where?
Well, that great line. Incredible line that Kim Orange, when she says, but it was up on something. It was up on Instagram, somebody's Instagram.
It was up on our Instagram.
It was, you're like, yeah, I came to Helen back. And she says, you went to wear him back or something. Goes, yeah. The what and the who the back? What?
You and where? With who?
Yeah.
And when? Yeah, something
yeah, it
like
was
that.
Great. We'll find it. We'll find him.
And
I was pulled into Charity's room by demons from hell.
By what? From where?
Yeah, but I just liked how I was like, I saw hell. Yeah.
You look so much like Reagan in that scene.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's because the woman playing your mom is like very handsy with your. I don't know if because Kim's got her hands all over your face, and I tend to do that.
Yeah,
to her.
Yeah.
That was her thing.
When she was comforting Ethan, yeah. It was a lot of hands.
Yeah, you definitely had a Ray thing going on there,
and it makes sense.
Yeah,
but yeah, that stuff I enjoyed too because it was like there was urgency there, and also kind of
you were
like,
playing the urgency. For sure.
Play the urgency
it's an urgent situation.
Yeah. I think it kind of again, this is the thing, like you fall into that slow pace of soap operas where it's like everything is because they love
and trust
each other.
Yeah,
you just say they love and trust each other.
I also you don't even say that. I also noticed I was hyper aware of Pilar's lack of contractions in this episode, and just thinking about how that's just one more piece of work that she had to do on top of all of this, and how well she did it, and how I only noticed it because I was paying attention.
Yeah.
And if I were in her position, and I sound like a brat, but I would just been like, guys, I'm not doing this. Nobody cares. It's not important enough. Like, if I thought it was important, I would go along with it. Yes, it's a lot of work, but it serves the character. But like, it just feels racist and shitty.
Yeah.
And like, it's completely fucking unimportant.
Right.
But yeah, if you go back and watch, there's a speech in which she has to string together a bunch of words that all of us would use contractions with, and she doesn't.
I didn't know.
She
does not. That's interesting. I have to keep an eye for that.
Yeah.
They do that to her all the time.
A lot of her.
She was told Pilar is not allowed to use contractions. Remember, we talked about this.
Yeah, we did talk about that.
Yeah. Not her native language or some shit like that.
Not a lot of, Theresa felt sort of inconsequential in this episode.
She did.
Am I wrong?
Yeah. And it does happen sometimes I think it's smart because, you know, she's a big presence. And sometimes we need to pull back on that. I mean, as with, you know, a lot of the other, like the Julians and the
right.
The Norma and the you're going to see Norma again.
But right? Oh, good. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, I was on the IMDb page,
Norma.
Which I just learned about thanks to Val.
Wonderful resource.
It's a resource of how did I not know about this?
You should check it out. You can pay for it too, and you can get find out whose agents people are with.
You can do that.
Yeah, so that's
you
a fun, that's a fun
if you
perk.
Worked with them before.
Super fun.
So anyway, I saw that Norma has a lot more upcoming stuff.
Yeah. Oh my God.
She's got all
six seasons of it.
Yeah.
I just get confused because I was looking specifically to see who played Kay when, and it's very confusing. Actually, I was looking to see why you weren't in the episode and to see which ones you were in, and it's not available on IMDb.
It doesn't mention why. It doesn't
well,
say.
No, just,
well,
did,
Natalie
by,
was,
by episode,
Natalie
it
was
give,
in New York during this week. Oh, and I would go home. I would go when I had these big stretches. Yeah. I had an apartment in New York, and I would. Yeah. I would fly, you know, get a last minute red eye because I could do that back then.
Yeah.
And I'd be sad.
And Thomas would be sad.
Oh, poor Sam.
Or I'd be glad because I'd be like,
he didn't like me.
Think that the way they styled Tabitha, which I guess was probably the last
iconic.
Episode too, is iconic, but also a little bit like Sergeant Pepper's?
It was 100%
See,
like
iconic.
Oh. Yeah. Two iconic looks
coming together. Yeah, like a peanut or like a Reese's Pieces.
Yeah. Oh, like do you say Pieces?
Racist,
I do say Reese's.
Like a Reese's.
Like a Reese's, but what?
Like a Reese's Pieces?
A Reese's Pieces, yeah.
Because some people say it, but I always said Reese's Pieces.
Well,
that's
wrong.
What I say. Reese's Pieces.
Okay, you're both wrong.
What do you guys think?
Ross's Pieces.
You want to talk about themes?
Yes, I have it. It's actually a line. It was a line courtesy of Teresa, and it is only good fortunes come true.
You know what? Here's a note that I wrote to respond to that.
That's good.
It's good.
Poor, dumb, naive Teresa.
But it's true.
It is true.
Yeah. Oh, they just really throw under the bus every once in a while. Mine is also a line, but Ivy Crane's my mom. My true friends are few and far between.
All right.
Yeah.
Also applies to me.
Mine is God only gives us what we can handle.
God, we're the worst.
Ben.
What?
God.
Yeah.
All of it. It's all bad.
It's all bad.
It's all bad. I'm, you know, sometimes it's there and for the plucking, sometimes you really have to fight for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, on that note.
Yeah, housekeeping.
On that note, we thank you for listening. We are fucking done with Famous 462. We're going to do some housekeeping.
We made it
as
to hell.
Huge. We made it in and out of hell.
Through
and out.
Wait, you went to where?
Hull.
With who?
Hull? To what?
You were where with who?
With whom?
Go to your room, young man, with your brandy.
And your bubba.
Yes. I will send Gwen to tuck you in.
On your 2 o'clock nap.
Okay. If you guys want to ask some questions about hell and
anything for that matter.
Anything, we do a listener's email in the middle of the week. Email us at emailpassions@gmail.com. You can check us out on Twitter at passions4. We started posting show notes.
That's on Instagram.
And on, I thought we were doing it on both. Anyway, yeah, Instagram. Yeah. We are at Passions for Life Pod. Check us out there.
Yes, and don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
And there the show notes are available, along with a helpful instructional video on how you can watch and play along at home.
Is that stuff available on the Instagram?
Or
is it on the Twitter?
Wherever you find your pod, wherever you listen to podcasts.
There's show notes in there.
Yeah.
It's in the show notes, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Just
a little
and if that read is, through.
If that happens to be incorrect, I'm sure Val will pop in.
Pop in and be like,
yeah, you guys are idiots.
Ben, you dumb son of a bitch.
He's done it before.
Jane,
once
you
again, you've managed
slut.
To confuse everyone.
It's really very straightforward and not at all confusing. At the bottom of the show notes, starting in season 2, you'll see the words, click here for supplemental video. And it's a link. And you can click there for supplemental video.
All right.
Well, we have a real treat for you next week. I just say that.
I usually mean, every time.
We actually do have a treat, but in case we don't, then fucking tune in anyway. You love us. Bye.
Yeah.
Bye.
Wait, and you will be in the next one?
No. But the one after that for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. See y'all.
Bye.